Open up with prayer here. Father, we give you thanks, Lord, for the work that you most certainly are doing in accordance with your promise, Lord, that you who began a good work is faithful to complete it. Lord, on this and all of your word, Lord, we choose to rest, and we simply ask you this evening for those present, for those listening, Lord, that you would, by your Spirit, reveal to us all that you desire, all that you have determined, Father, to accomplish your will of transforming us more into the image of your Son, this very process of spiritual growth, Lord, that you alone can accomplish. So as we recognize these things, Lord, and we thank you for what you have taught us, we also ask for your continued teaching and care and safekeeping for that which you will teach. Again, for those present, Father, for those listening, all for your glory, we ask your will be done as we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, we continue here with a brief synopsis in our study of spiritual growth principles. Specifically, we're looking at chapter 2 on the subject of time and as it relates to spiritual growth in the life of the believer. In addition to the second chapter and the wonderful testimonies and quotes and illustrations outlined, have a couple of biblical principles to add to this shortly as we take a closer look, guided by the Lord, on this all-important subject of time. I don't doubt for anyone living in this day and age that they would be familiar with the phrase, "Are we there yet?" It usually comes in the question from a child anxious to be somewhere other than where they are and arrive at a desired destination. And I think it applies all too often with us as the children of God, as we desire to be all that He has put aside for us. Well, in this, we realize a couple things that, well, it is indeed a process and it contains many elements, some that we will be looking at this evening. I would like to take a moment here on this subject of time and just read from the back of the book, The Green Letters, one short portion where someone said, perhaps the greatest drama in the world is the slow, subtle growth of character in the Christian. Beauty of character can only be developed through years of reflection and experience in the Word of God as the life of Christ is increasingly lived by faith. There's a lot there, and it's important, but the thing that would grab the anxious child of God would be slow. I want this to be as fast as it can. And I believe that we can rest assured that as we seek the Lord, so does He, and He'll be faithful to make it happen as quickly as it accomplishes His perfect will. So in addition to the things that we have read or you may be beginning to study in the second chapter on the biblical principles of spiritual growth as they relate to time, I would like to add a few bullet points here before we get into our discussion and perhaps you get into your discussion portion as well. The first one is this. As we look at spiritual growth, we would like to recognize it as a continuous process that includes both faith and time. Faith and time go together as pillars. Last week we began with our study of faith, and to that we add the principle of time. Now, taken together, it brings us to the second point I would like to bring together, that when it comes to spiritual growth, it's not just time alone. It is both faith working over time that accomplishes God's spiritual growth. Let me give you a couple of examples, maybe a figure of speech that we sometimes want to either hear or say, and then look at a couple of biblical principles that support this. Perhaps you have heard it said by a Christian that, I have been walking with the Lord for 40 years. Now, we need to explore closely with that. What do we mean exactly by that? If it means that I have been a born-again Christian for 40 or more years, well, wonderful. But if by that the person means I have been walking, such as abiding for 40 years, well, maybe or probably not. And again, this might be a debatable point, but if I would submit that if any of us have been abiding for 40 years, it wouldn't even be necessary for us to say that. There would be so much, well, Christ-likeness and maturity in us that it would just be obvious that the Lord has been developing His purpose as He executes His process in us for a very long time. Now, that might be a fight starter, and that is certainly not the point, but I would like to add to that, because I think we have a tendency to think that way. It's only as we're walking in such intimate closeness with the Lord that the Lord is actually accomplishing something in us. No, it's equally true for the person who has been a Christian for 40 years and maybe hasn't been abiding all of that time. And I think fairly we could submit that none of us have been abiding the whole time the way that the Lord wants, that the entire time we have been Christians. So taking that idea of 40 years, a specific reason that that was chosen, because it is an example that the Lord uses, an example that the Lord uses as an illustration for His church to illustrate this, that time by itself with God's people in His covenant isn't going to accomplish the result that He wants. Just time. I've been walking with the Lord or before the Lord for 40 years. Can you think of any biblical illustration, think Old Testament here, where God's people in covenant walked before Him for 40 years and it really didn't bring about the thing that we thought? Yes, it's been said. What about the time Israel walked for 40 years before the Lord and at the Lord's direction? Did that bring them into the position that God initially put before them, the promised land, which is a representation for us of the relationship we have with Christ? Well, actually, no, it didn't. But it was a necessary part of God's process known to Him to ultimately accomplish what He wants. We'll talk more about that as we, well, as we look at the biblical example and what we are to do with that. So maybe a follow-up question for the anxious kid in the backseat of the family car going to the destination. Are we there yet? When he gets the answer he doesn't want to hear because, well, he's immature in his understanding. No, we're not. I think the follow-up question would be, how much longer? And don't we think that? Isn't that proclaimed to us in the Psalms also? How long, O Lord? Because clearly where I'm at isn't as good as where I want to be. And in a sense, that's true. But what we're learning to realize, where you're at right now is a necessary part, an essential part of getting to where the Lord is going to bring us. How much time? Ever been anxious for something? If we really grasp onto this process when it comes to the things of the Lord, you can have your answer and never be in that situation again. I would answer it this way. How much longer do I have to wait for God's very best? Well, not another moment. When we think about this, I would ask you to turn with me or just listen as I turn to, in Scripture, to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want to jump right to the verse. And as always, we encourage you to read this in context, seeking the Lord and what He means by this. But an Old Testament quotation is given to the church first in Corinth and then for the church universal as it's been recorded in God's Word. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, It's referred to the Lord speaking when we read, "For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you." And if we read no further, we'd ask, when, right? Well, the Lord answers that. "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." As you understand that salvation is a process as well, utilizing at least three parts, justification, sanctification, resulting in glorification, you know that if you're a Christian, you're somewhere in that. And this very day, this very moment, the now is being used by the Lord. So you don't have to ask, when am I going to get there? But rather you have to realize I'm there now, and better question might be for us, what am I to know right now about the Lord's process and what he's doing with me? That understanding will bring peace and confirmation and guidance as we do grow in understanding. But to support that now and behold, today is the day of salvation, I want to turn you to the New Testament explanation of that Old Testament illustration we already talked about. Namely, what are we supposed to understand about Israel walking 40 years in the wilderness before the Lord, and it seemed like it was just all punitive, and there was certainly that element. All those who had heard the word minus two died, all those who were over 20 years old. So let's think about that and look as we perhaps turn to Hebrews chapter 3 and bring out a couple of principles and concepts there. First off, I would like to point out that the Lord is using the Israelites as an illustration for the church. He's already warned the church to be careful not to fall away. And then he brings forth in chapter 3 especially, and I want to encourage you to prayerfully read chapter 3 and perhaps chapter 4 as the Lord leads, as you explore this concept of time and what the Lord is doing in your life. We'll look at a couple verses first here before we explore this, namely Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. And it starts with a therefore. That means you've got to read what comes before it. And it's about, well, it's about Moses being faithful and leading the Israelites. And then in Hebrews 3, verse 7, we read, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says," look at the tense, not said, it's as though the Holy Spirit is still saying this to his people, "Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion," referring to that time when Israel rebelled against the will of God, "in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they've not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." Now that's heavy. And chapter 4 turns this around for us and lets us know we're talking about that because there is a rest that God has prepared for his people. But before you can get to that, before you can get to that point and stop at how long, there's some things we need to know. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, we read, the church is told, "But exhort or encourage one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." There's that daily. It's as though God's word and what he reveals must be operated on when it is revealed. If not, there is a penalty to that or a consequence, as though we may be able to prolong the very process that might be taking us down. That was certainly seemingly the case with Israel. In verse 15, again, the Spirit of God writes to the church, "While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. And then I want to read the next couple of verses because it ties in that illustration to what we're looking at. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Well, no, not really. Caleb didn't. Joshua didn't. But I think we're talking in generalities here. Now, with whom was he, the Lord, angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? Please notice verse 19 if you perhaps have tuned out. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. We would call that the opposite of faith or trusting. So we've read some things in this account, this Old Testament illustration where the church is told, there's a time component and there's also a faith or a belief component. And these two aspects of both time and faith working together to produce in the Christian spiritual growth. What time? When? Right now. Today and going forward. I would actually like to make a comparison. The use of the word today would be synonymous with not just today as in some time, but now. Today equals now, as now equals continual, as continual equals abide. Abide means to remain. So if we're thinking we're abiding, it's that constant time element of exercising our faith or trust in what God has told us. That's as fast as it can happen. And when we do that, well, you're there with the Lord. You have His presence. You are, hopefully, anxious for nothing because, and I would just want to encourage you to think about this. What are you going to move on to once this thing is done? It's only the Lord forevermore. That's what He's growing us into, is an ever closer relationship. Now, on this subject of time, and I think we all have enough understanding to know why we want to be out of certain situations, why, and there were elements in the chapter that spoke to this. We are in things or situations as Christians that we don't think possibly could be serving the Lord's purpose in any kind of a time frame. We look at Israel. Well, what did the Lord end up with that process? Well, He ended up with two prepared leaders, Joshua and to a lesser extent Caleb, and He ended up with a group of people that at least had some understanding of knowing that it has to be the Lord's way if we're going to enter into the land. And that was the beginning point for them. That wasn't the end. So, in those difficult situations, and in my mind, I would think 40 years in the desert would have been a difficult situation, at least for Joshua and Caleb. We didn't do anything wrong. Why are we out here? God has a perfect plan. Now, in those times, I would like to make the last point here before we move to the discussion. Growth, spiritual growth, from God's perspective, and requiring time to do it, is not only upward, but it's also downward. What do we mean? Those times of downward growth, and I believe the term declension was used in the story, a time or something that appears as a period of decline. Hey, I'm going backwards. This isn't the upward call of God. Things don't seem to be getting better. Rather, they're getting worse or maybe more difficult. It doesn't seem like I'm getting closer. It seems like I'm getting further. Not necessarily. Again, growth is not only upward, but also the downward. Appears as a decline, but actually serves the purpose from the Lord's perspective and process as the revelation of self and death to self-confidence. Think about the Israelites. I mean, they literally had to die, all of those 20 years older and above. But isn't there something about death written for God's perfect plan for us as Christians? Those periods of declension, or perhaps chastisement as in that case, do serve to point out where the individual has been relying on self and gives a period of time to die off to self-confidence or self-will. But to turn this around even in God's perfect will, I would like to focus in closing on one scripture that Jesus gives to all those who would be his disciples. And since the Lord has said that he's going to complete the good work he's begun, I would submit to you that the Lord, even in his perfect, as fast as it possibly can go time frame, is going to take us through this as well. And we find this in the Gospel of John, very familiar passage to you, no doubt. John chapter 12, specifically verse 24, where Jesus says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." Now, there's some conditional things there. If it dies, it tells us for the production of much grain. Later, we're told in John 15 that the Father chose us and appointed us that we would bear much fruit, much Christ-likeness. Every hungry heart desires, right? Oh, Lord, that there would be more people that would come to your kingdom. I know you've thought that. We've all thought that. That's the will of God. But observe his process. He uses a common agricultural example. A single grain of wheat, a single kernel goes into the ground and the Lord says it dies. Well, what really happens, it breaks down till there's nothing left of it. But through that becomes the new life. And if you think about this, the visible signs, at least above ground, when that new life begins. How does it appear? First, a little green shoot. In the area that we live in at this time of year, many farmers are planting winter wheat. We saw it right now, this very day as we were driving today. There was a field, just green with all this new life. Now, certainly, no more times involved, right? Are you kidding? It's winter wheat. That means it's got to go through winter. And then next spring, you're going to see green shoots. And then what happens as we think through it? Well, the green shoot turns into a stalk. The stalk then develops a head, which turns into more grain. One seed producing many kernels, 30, 60. There's a lot of them if you really actually count them out, just like Jesus said. Then what? Well, that term, then what, is part of the lack of understanding that leads to our anxiousness. It's why we get in a hurry for what we think should be happening at this time. God says, well, first off, there's a process. And if you will allow me to, I would like to say as we close up tonight that that illustration in this verse in John chapter 12, 24 is a wonderful illustration of the birth, life, and reproductive cycle of an abiding Christian, as fast as it can possibly be. And it's not, are we there yet? A better question should be, are we there now? Consider the wheat. If we compare the grain of wheat and that stalk to a Christian, a new Christian would be like that little green shoot, right? And there you are, full of new life and vigor, a new reality, and you want just what the Lord wants. More people. I've got to tell more people. And oftentimes that's what happens. Well, we go out and we get these little green shoots to reproduce. That can't happen with wheat, can it? Can just the little green plant reproduce, bear more fruit or more grain? No, it has the potential. But through a process and time, in this case, well, it grows up until it develops grain. It's only the mature kernel that has the potential to reproduce other grains of wheat. If you see a grain of wheat as a Christian, you're beginning to understand what must happen. The process over time. The stalk can't do it. The new shoot can't do it. And the fully mature Christian might not do it. We will see this later in our study, and I would just point out to your attention, if you've noticed the illustration on the front cover of this, you see a head of wheat. More of that must happen, and we might be getting a little bit ahead, but I think it's helpful as we contemplate time. This is where the Lord led me. We've talked recently about what it takes to become mature. An abiding Christian who constantly is exercising discernment or judging from revealed Word of God. Is this good? Is this evil? This is the process by which we become mature. And then, well, if that Christian then dies to everything of its own desires, right, falls to the ground and dies, it can reproduce after its own kind. Like reproduces like. That is God's design, even as the wheat does. We will see in a future study that all those beautiful golden grains of wheat are likened to mature Christians who might be in a fellowship like this. It's just like I like it. God has grown me now, and I'm going to stay right here. Beautiful, but sterile in regards to being unproductive. There's a continuing process, and that's why we're talking about this. Are we there yet? No. Are we doing it now? What part of this process does the Lord have me in? Now, truly, I believe that we can make it longer or shorter, and God knows if we're going to or not, but we want to be as fast as this can happen, and as fast as this can happen is going to involve you in God's fruit-producing cycle. But before that can happen, there's a process, necessary things that must happen. Faith exercised constantly first begins to produce maturity, ongoing death to self, and then reproduction in like kind that will do it over and over. If you will, disciples making more disciples. On this subject, and the reason we went a little more in depth in this, what's just referred to in this chapter, is because it's part of the process, and I believe it's the cure for biblical anxiety. I don't like where I'm at. Have you asked the Lord? Father, is this where you would have me? Here's a sure bet. If you do this, Lord, place me exactly where you want me to be, and he doesn't move you, you're there. That marriage, absolutely. That workplace, that neighborhood, that's your place of ministry. That's where the Father has determined to put you, that you might, and without the explanation, boy, this would be offensive, that you might grow up and die so that others would grow up and die, and on and on and on. That's what the Lord is doing. And as a Christian, you're somewhere in the process. It might seem like, man, I'm down in the dirt right now and not, well, not by choice. Maybe stripping away everything that there might be new life that shoot. Maybe you have been abiding for decades and now you're that beautiful, fully mature kernel or Christian. Time for you to go back down too at the Father's direction, that there would be new life and more fruit. As we close up this evening, and I would like to close with prayer, but I would also like to add on these things as we contemplate and now begin to discuss the Lord's process, two things working together. Faith exercised constantly, that's the time component, will produce the growth that God intends in his perfect continuous cycle. And you will see the evidence of that. But in addition to that, the devotional from None But the Hungry today, actually, January 8th, is a wonderful complement to this fact when we're thinking about timing as though nothing is happening. If you're a Christian, something is happening. Something necessary is happening. And we discover that God's perspective on time is quite different than ours until we grow to the understanding that he gives us. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we just ask you to continue to guide by your Spirit, Lord, the understanding and the discussion that would happen in this place and every place, Lord, where there's people who are seeking you and the understanding of the biblical principles of spiritual growth. Father, that you would have your way. Lord, that we would truly abide with you and as quickly as you have determined it to be, go through this cycle of growing and dying and reproducing others. Father, abundant fruit, fruit that remains, all to your glory. As you would have it, Father, we ask and give you thanks in faith at this time. And we do so in Jesus' name. Amen.